Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Open your Bibles, hold them up in the air, repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We are in a series entitled Raising Kings. It's something the Lord's put on my heart to not just teach about identity, but give you practical steps. Raising kings and queens in the body of Christ. You are royalty. Here in Matthew chapter 20, I'm going to title today, Own Your Zone. Own Your Zone, if you're taking notes today. Matthew chapter 20, let's look at verse 20. This is a story where some of the disciples wanted to feel like their life mattered, had meaning, that they were special. And so they were wanting to get close to God, close to Jesus in his kingdom. They wanted seats of position and importance next to Jesus in the kingdom of God. And so they sent their mommy in ahead of them because Jesus can't say no, right? That's their mind, they're thinking. They can't say, we've never seen anyone say no to our mom, so we're going to send mom. And so here in Matthew chapter 20, this account is there. So then this mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of Jesus. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left. Do you see the boldness in this mom? Like, command that in your kingdom, my sons. Anyways, this is awesome. Everyone needs a mom like that in their life. I just need to tell you, we just need to be grateful for those kinds of moms. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the other 10 disciples became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great, you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So obviously Jesus is speaking of himself. What I want to point out in this verse and what I'd like you to underline in your Bibles is the line that says, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Underline that, please. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus had no problem with these disciples' desire to be great, to mean something to the world, to hold a place of significance in the world. That is actually, I believe, a godly desire. Here's the thing. If godly people don't lead and do great things, then all that's left is for wicked people to lead and do things. If we do not let our light shine, then the devil will keep people in great darkness. We have to shift our thinking that it is godly to be hidden and in the background somewhere. The Bible tells us that we are to let our light shine before men, so that they would see our good work and glorify our Father that is in heaven. Jesus says, you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Matter of fact, people look up to you and what God has built in your life. Come on, do you see that? Jesus says, you're the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. I like to say it, you're the solutions to problems in this world. If we don't desire leadership, if we don't desire to be heard, if we don't desire to matter, then here we are, the only people that can connect to the supernatural, the only people that can connect to the mind and the wisdom of God. We're the ones that have the ability to do God's stuff, and we're hiding in the background somewhere among the luggage or in the bushes. That is neglecting our responsibility. Amen. Jesus does not rebuke them for the desire to do something great with their life, for the desire to lead. He rebukes them for their method. He rebukes them because in this world's eyes, you become great by stepping over someone else, by promoting your own self and even pushing others down so that you can be elevated. But what Jesus is teaching them in the area of leadership is that we will matter, we will be meaningful, our lights, our lives will be significant because of how we serve the world around us. And actually, our goal is not to push other people down, but we spend our lives pulling people up out of darkness into a higher level of living. Do you understand that? That's when the church begins to matter. That's when Christians begin to matter. We won't matter to our generation because we just get upset and yell at the world and say, you should think the church is important. The church becomes valuable when we do things that are valuable. When we go and we serve humanity and meet their needs and help meet them where they are and raise them up, help them become successful in areas that they're being stolen from and killed and destroyed by the thief. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Where we set them free from their bondages. We don't have to tell people we're valuable when we just start living our value. Amen. And so that's where we are. That's what Jesus was saying, is there's nothing wrong with desiring to be a leader. Nothing wrong with desiring to want to bring change and that your life matters. But let me show you how to matter. Jesus even says it himself. He's like, he's saying, I'm going to matter. I'm going to show you how I matter because I'm going to lay my life down to free you from sin, to free you from Satan. He didn't matter because he looked at people and said, worship me, I matter. He mattered because he did something that brought their life up. And again, Christians, we want to walk around people to respect us because we're Christians. The world puts value on us because we serve them in ways that they cannot serve themselves. We serve them in ways and meet needs that no one but the kingdom of God can meet. And that's you. You mean something to this world. You matter in this world. The goal of the kingdom, the goal of kingdom leadership is to develop other leaders, not gather followers. That's the heart of the kings and queens in the kingdom of God. See, in our world, it's about followers. Instagram, Facebook, how many followers do you have? But you know, even when Jesus led in the kingdom when he came, he didn't come to just make us followers of himself. He came to make each of us leaders and successful, victorious over sin, death, devil, and then he equipped us to prosper and to do something of significance, to accomplish good works in our lives. We were saved by grace unto good works. So the Lord didn't just save us to make us followers. We actually became a group of leaders following the Lord. Does that make sense? See, we are a kingdom of kings and queens. Amen. And so the concept here is in our kingdom culture and what we want to accomplish in the earth is not people just following us and seeing how important we are, but we serve them to help them become the best version of them and to become leaders in their own right, to help break them out of slavery into freedom and develop them into sons and daughters of God to lead in their place of significance. See, success for even my own life is not how many people will sit here and watch me preach and follow. That is not success. What success is me mobilizing you to be everything God has put in you and deposited and paid for you to be. That's success, to create leaders, not followers. The world is where it is today because of the absence of great leadership. The world needs the kingdom leaders to rise up and lead. And so that's what we create. Jesus isn't just there gathering crowds. The crowds never knew what to do. Those crowds were not why Jesus came. Jesus came to make something. Sons and daughters, come on now. Came to make leaders of men, fishers of men, people that can transform other people's lives, push back darkness and bring in light. Leaders. Jesus and the kingdom came to develop leaders, not followers. So I ask this question, what gives someone a platform? What gives them a space? Remember why I said today's message is called Own Your Zone. What gives them a realm? Think of kingdom. That is a king of a dominion, king of a domain. You as a son or daughter of God, you have a platform. You have a domain. You have a realm. You have a space in this world. And I want to help you see it today. Sometimes we don't realize how significant we are to the earth, how significant we are to a generation. We might put it off and say, well, I'm too old, or I'm the wrong gender, or I'm the wrong ethnic group, or I didn't have this, and I didn't have that. We have all these things that we know that we're not, rather than laying hold of who and what we are. And God has put so much on the inside of you, and I'm here to help you see you are a king, you are a nobility, and there is a domain, there is a platform that you walk into every day. Don't wait for a platform like this to think you have significance. I'm here to help you understand. Each of you walk onto a stage every week. Your house is a stage. It is a platform of which other people are looking for you to lead in your position of dominion and authority unto the glory of God. Your work is a stage, is a platform, is a space. The gifts, the talents, the experience on your life is a platform, is a stage for you to be a light and to serve that space. All of us have a realm, a dominion, a domain. So how do you get a platform? How do you receive a space and own your zone? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, that a man's gift makes room or a space, or I could say a platform for him and brings him before great men. See, the gift of God on your life, both spiritual gifts as well as natural gifts, bends that you, as you've grown up, certain experience you've had and certain things that you're interested in and certain things that God has given you as natural talents and abilities, the Bible says that these gifts, these spiritual and natural gifts that are upon you, they bring you before great men and women of importance. They create a realm. They create a domain. They create a space and why your life matters in this world. There are gifts and callings and talents that this world needs that you possess, that your family needs. Your family needs you. Don't you agree with the enemy that says you are not significant? There are gifts and talents and experience and abilities inside of you that there's a reason you were born in this generation, not in another generation. Your city needs you. Your family needs you. Your workplace needs you. It's time for us to see what's upon us and then to be able to deploy that into the service of the people around us. The devil wants to keep you so insecure, so ignorant of who you are that you'll never step onto your platform and lead. There are so many stages at the workplace that Christians should be standing on because they're anointed to be at that office. They're anointed to be in that school district. They have the solutions. They have the answers, but they're not stepping onto their stages because they don't realize what's in them and they're looking for someone else to lead. And if they don't step into that place, then someone else will, typically not someone who serves the Lord. Amen. Now, you are gifted, you are talented, you are anointed. Your confidence in your realm, on your stage, in your zone, whatever you want to say, in your space, your confidence comes from owning, possessing that gift, and becoming excellent with it. You see, when you know what's in you and you know what you're able to do, then you begin to intentionally look for places to serve that gift to the world. Places that have a need for what you can do. Like if you're an electrician and you know how to fix things with electricity and you see a problem with electricity, you know you're good at that, so you then make yourself available to serve in that area. If you're a doctor or whatever and someone is sick, you know you have the capacity to help that individual, so it gives you confidence because you know what you can do. And as you become better and better at what you do, better at who you are and what you know and how you deploy that gift, then you begin to more expectantly look for opportunities to serve because you know what's on you and you know where you fit and where you don't fit. You know where you serve and where you follow, and that's where we're headed today. It's so important that we own those talents and those gifts in our lives and we become excellent with them. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, about a story with Peter and John, who were some of the apostles. And they were going to the temple that day to worship, and there was this beggar there who was lame, palsy in his legs since the day he was born. The beggar asks him for alms or for money. And Peter and John have this comment or this statement to make to the beggar. Peter said this, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." Now, it's interesting in this verse because Peter was aware of what he didn't possess and what he also did possess. He knew of the abilities that were on his life, and he knew what was not in his pockets. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is huge for us to know where our stage, our zone, our platform, our realm of influence is. But if Peter would not have known what he possessed, he could not have engaged it in that person's moment of need. See, it was in Peter being aware, and that's where we are with you today, becoming aware of the talent on your life, of the skill and the anointings, both spiritual and natural gifts that are upon your life, so that like Peter, when you bump into someone who has need, you lead. See, he was leading in that moment by serving that lame beggar with the power and spirit of God that was upon him. This was not about Peter gaining a follower. This was about Peter serving that individual and raising them up to a new place. Thus, Peter led the way he was supposed to lead. Are you understanding that? All ministry is serving. All ministry is helping other people win, helping other people out of darkness, helping other people succeed. And we have that capacity. But if Peter would not have owned what he had, he would not have had confidence to then say, I know what I have and I can do something about this. And that's where the body of Christ, so many times the devil wants to keep you clouded from what you have. The gift on your life, the anointing on your life, the skills on your life, the value on your life, so that you're not looking to help someone else. You always think you need someone to help you all the time, and we're trying to shift us into being people that are looking for places to serve humanity, knowing we possess answers. We possess abilities. Amen. You may not possess all the abilities at one time. I'll get to that in a minute, but you possess something. You possess answers. You possess light. You possess power and ability and authority. You are uniquely made. You were put in your mother's womb on purpose and formed by God on purpose. Before you were born, he knew you. I didn't get into this strong with the other services, so I'm speaking to somebody here today. You have questioned why you're here. You have questioned if you matter. You have questioned whether or not you should go on living. You matter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You mean something to this generation. It is a lie of the enemy that tries to minimize your life and that you are just waiting to go to heaven one day. You are a king and a queen on the earth. Realize you have a place of dominion. You have a throne of authority, and only you can lead from that place. And it sits there empty and vacant, and the devil is reigning where you're supposed to reign. Come on now. No one else can sit on that throne. It was made for you to sit in your life and in your sphere of influence. Come on. Amen. But you have to own it. That which I have. Let's become confident in what God has done. That's not pride. That's gratefulness. That's not pride. That's revelation of something God did, that God has made. Amen. And when I use it, it brings glory to God, not glory to me. When I don't use it, it lets the devil reign. And you're the kings, and you're the queens, and you're the sons and daughters. It wasn't just Peter and John, by the way, that had this confidence. I think it's time for the body of Christ to start acting like nobility, the body of Christ to start putting their head up, their shoulders back, looking with their head up. See what happens when you're looking up, your eyes can see where there's need and you can see where you can go into that need and say, let me in there, coach, because I'm gifted to take care of that. And that's not just for a couple pastors to feel good about themselves. I'm saying we are a kingdom of kings and queens. Amen. It's not just two or three people with authority. You are the body of Christ. Paul the apostle, he had this similar tone and confidence in him in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. He was talking about going to the church in Rome. This is people of the church of Rome. He says, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. I love the confidence. Basically, Paul was saying, I can't wait to show up and do what I do. Because when I show up and I do what I do, I'm going to rock your world. Your life is going to get better. You're going to increase in revelation. You're going to increase in freedom. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be healed of your sickness. We're going to cast out those demons. We're going to release you into your leadership. You're not going to be slaves to sin. You're going to be sons and daughters of God. You're going to be connected out of the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. You're going to have access into the throne of grace, and your life is going to change because I'm doing what I am called to do. I can't wait to get in there. What if the body of Christ woke up like that? I can't wait to go to work today. Because I can't wait to be a catalyst of change because I carry something because of the talent and the ability and the gifts and the anointing on my life. As a believer, I didn't earn them. They were given to me, but I know I possess something. And if I don't know I possess it, then I'm not looking for a place to use it because I don't think I have anything. And you have so much more than anyone else in this world that doesn't know God. It's so important that you begin to realize you carry something. Gifts, talents, ability, dominion, authority. You have a realm, a platform, a zone of influence. And it's also your responsibility not just to be aware that it exists. Sometimes we realize through Scripture that, yeah, we have anointings, and yes, there are spiritual gifts. We've even had prophecy given to us. That God wants to prosper you financially with being a business owner, or God wants to use you in the area of healing people. And so you get informed of your identity. You get informed about the deposits, the realm, the platform on your life. But you understand it's not enough to just be aware that it's there. You possess it, and then it's your responsibility to stir it up, own it, become excellent in it, and then engage it. Paul says this to Timothy, young Timothy, in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, it says, "Therefore I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And it was put there through the laying on of my hands. God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So stop being intimidated and start using the gift that's in your life. But also stir it up, develop it, mature it, make it excellent. Do some. You can't practice it if you don't possess it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can't engage it. You can't develop it if you keep denying that it's there. At some point, you have to wake up to who you are and what's in you and say, I'm going to become great at what God has called me to be. Amen. You know, I think about people who God's called to pray for the sick. They get prophesied over that God's going to use them to pray for the sick and to see healing. And 2 years later, you're talking to them, and they're like, yep, God's prophesied to me that he's put a healing anointing on me. And you ask them, have you gone out and prayed for sick people? Well, no, but I keep getting prayer that someday I'll go out and we'll see healings happen in my life. But have you gone out and started praying for sick people? No, but I had a prophecy that said, I'm going to heal the sick. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Until you go start praying for sick people and becoming skilled and excellent and deploying your position of authority, you're not going to see the sick healed. You're not going to stir up that gift. It's your responsibility to stir up that gift. Too many times in the body of Christ, people want fire in the fireplace before anybody puts wood in the thing. It's like, you make me warm, let me see healings happen in my life, and then I'll go start praying for the sick. You start praying for the sick, you're going to see healings happen. Same thing happens in business. God prophesies to them about becoming a business owner, a millionaire, an entrepreneur. And what they want is for God to drop a business on their head. You know what that's going to do? That's going to squish you. And they have these little feet sticking out, and they're going to curl up like the Wizard of Oz. That is not the wisdom of God to drop a business on you. If God speaks and prophesies business on you, he's put an anointing to generate wealth in you, then you stir it up. You go read books on business. You go get trained on business. You go get mentored by people who've been successful in business. You begin to step out in some baby steps of business. You begin to work for other people, even for free if necessary, to learn business. You begin to stir up the gift and the anointing because that's where you're going to lead, and you need to start possessing that and engaging that gift that's been in your life. Amen. Realms. Own your zone. Realms of influence. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you getting anything out of this so far? You are kings and queens on the earth. There's authority. That's not just God making you feel good. Sometimes I think we have this idea that God just calls us kings and queens so we can have coffee mugs and feel good about ourselves. I'm a princess. I'm royal. God was calling you noble because of who you are in the earth, because you carry authority. You carry ability. You're meant to lead. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 through 26. Now, this right before this, it's talking about spiritual gifts. So it's all in context about the church. It's all in context about spiritual gifts and natural abilities. And it's all talking about order and value. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, he works all of these things, and he's distributing to each one individually, just as he wills or he desires. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of that body, though they are many, they are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free. We are all made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And it goes on. Each member, each part of the body of Christ is a leader in its position, in its realm of influence, in its place where it has been gifted and it has been talented by God. The whole body has influence. The whole body is royal. Are you hearing me? The little pinky is royal. The eye is royal. The ear is royal. And the Bible says that God has set in the body the members where he sees fit. But what do we have in these areas of influence, in these circles of platforms of responsibility and value? Too many times we have people who wish they were a different part of the body rather than possessing and owning the part and the gift and the talent that they are. Their uniqueness, their personality, their way of thinking, their calling. We're so busy sometimes wishing we were a different part of the body that we don't lay hold of who we are and then function with excellence in our space. Amen. And that's a cancer in the body of Christ where we wish we were that rather than laying hold of who we are. Amen. We have individuals who wish they were more like the prophet rather than being the business leader or the helper in other areas. I wish I was more like the speaker. I wish I was more anointed like that, rather than realizing the whole body is anointed. The whole body has the same Holy Spirit. And God had need of you right where you are to be exactly who you are. So this is the wisdom of God. So how could we think less of our space or our position, thinking it's of less value? The king said, I have need of you in this space. How could we disrespect the space and the gift and the call in our life and wish we lived somebody else's life? It's time for us to live our lives. It's time for us to be who we've been made to be and be proud of who we are and proud and excited about what's on us and in us and how we do what we do. Amen. Too many believers, you know, they're wishing they're the ear. Because ears have lobes and stuff. And they get earrings and all kinds of fun things. And here I am, just an eye. Well, you know what? You just be the best eye you can be. Amen? Let's be good pupils of the Lord. Come on now. But so long we have ourselves looking at what somebody else is to be doing rather than owning our zone, possessing our gifts, becoming excellent in our responsibility and who we are, not wishing you were more like somebody else. You should wish about being the best version of you. Amen. Let's talk about the kingdom in another way, this idea of body parts. That's like the body is like its own kingdom with all these different members. But another little kingdom would be another way to illustrate this would be like a car. A car is like a little kingdom in itself. And inside of a car, there are thousands of members. There are thousands of parts. Do you understand that? That underneath the hood of that car, there are batteries and spark plugs and wires and other mechanical engine-y things. As you can see, one of my talents is not being a mechanic. There's other things in the car. Each one is the leader and is the authority in their space. Do you see that? The battery is the leader in what the battery needs to do. And everything else appreciates and follows the leadership of the battery because the battery is called to do what the battery can do. But it would be ridiculous for the battery to think it's the only part of the body that matters. It's the only part that has any value, or it's the part that's most important, because the truth is the battery is only most important in the area of what the battery can do. But the battery also needs a steering wheel in the car, and the steering wheel needs the battery. See, if the battery works and there's no steering wheel, the car may go, and it may go right off a cliff or into a wall. And so the steering wheel is the leader and the authority in the position of which it was placed in. And the battery needs to value and appreciate the authority and the leadership of the steering wheel. Amen. And if the steering wheel doesn't value and appreciate the battery, the steering wheel is not going to be able to lead or drive or turn anything because the car's not going to get going. This is the kingdom of God. You see, remember, we are a kingdom of kings, which means every part, every member has leadership, has value. They are an authority in a specific area of leadership and value in the kingdom of God. It's in recognizing and seeing the value in each other's leadership and each other's authority that we know how we can make strategic and divine alliances with one another. See, if I can see and value the strength that is in your life, the gifts and the talents that is in your life, I, as a king in my space, might realize I have need of some of your gifts and talents in your life. And so then I invite you to come in and partner with me, two kings together going to battle. And that is power, amen. Those are divine alliances, amen. But if I don't see the value of what's on your life and I'm ignorant of the deficiencies on my life, I may try to go to battle, and I'm going to battle unprepared and not with all the leadership and the ability that I could have if I would partner with other people that had certain gifts and skills. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we want to be the king that's an expert at absolutely everything. But God didn't make you a leader in every realm or every area. He set the members in specific places so that we would need one another. Do you understand that? Jesus is the whole body we are a part of. Amen. We need each other. We need to recognize the leadership and the value in one another. It's not about pushing someone else down. It's about recognizing their value, recognizing your value, and then you'll realize when and how to come together, utilizing each other's leadership and strength to get something done in the earth rather than opposing each other. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. Now, I've done this wrong before. That's why I can preach so passionately about it. Because there's been times where I saw the value in my gift, in my authority, in my realm of influence, and I assumed because I was anointed in my area that I was anointed to go lead in their area. And they didn't invite me in. Have you ever seen that in the body of Christ before? I'm the anointed person of God. Let me come and help you fix your life. And what is that? When one king invades another king's space without being invited, it's called war. And we see that in the body of Christ. Everybody, we have to learn how to be a kingdom of kings, which is respecting each other's domain, respecting each other's gift and talent, respecting each other's authority. Amen. Now, the ideal way is this: you be great at being you. And you lead with excellence at being you. Then this king or this individual begins to see what God's doing in you, and they begin to realize, I could sure use you in my realm. Would you come and you help me in this realm? And that's then when we become strategically placed together. And the truth is, we need one another, because you'll bring something into their realm, but what they possess in their realm, you didn't have in yours. And God creates power in unity. Amen. Power and unity, a kingdom of kings. I believe there's a misconception by some in the body of Christ about this idea that some are born to be leaders and others are born to be followers. My belief is this, because all of us are the body of Christ, all of us are filled with the same Holy Spirit, that all of us have leadership in certain areas in this world that we must be leading in, and then we must learn how to follow people in certain areas. All of us must be good at both leading and following. Are you hearing me there? Everyone is a leader in some realm or in some way. They're the leader in that home. They're the leader in that gift. They're the leader in that space in the kingdom of God. And I see that leadership. I see that value in you of where you're supposed to lead. All of us need to then let them lead, and how can we help you do what you do? But then we realize the leadership on somebody else, and then they begin to say, now I let you be you, and how can I help you do what you do? It's not that some were born leaders and others were born followers. We're all a kingdom of kings with leadership in our heart. It's just we have to learn when to let someone lead in their gift and when we lead in our gift, and we submit to each other. There's two realms I have up here, and I did it on purpose, because I want to remind you of two thrones that you sit on simultaneously. You have a domain, you have a realm. The first one I want to talk to you about is as a believer, real quick. As a believer, you have the ability to access the eternal. You have the ability to access the throne of grace. You have the ability to preach the good news and to help someone come out of darkness and out of sin into light. You, as a believer, have the ability, the talent, the skill, the anointing to heal the sick and to cast out people's demons. You have the ability to see people filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit so that they're empowered. They're not just followers, they're made leaders, amen. Leaders of the kingdom of God and in their life. This is your space. All of us, this is every believer. These signs shall follow those who believe. So all of us as believers own this zone. And until you own it, you're not going to deploy it. Until you own it, you're not going to become excellent at it. Until you own it, you're not going to look for places to use it because you're passing it off on someone else. Oh, that's the evangelist's job. Oh, that's the pastor's job. No, that's the job of the believer, my friend, to bring the gospel, to bring the power of God, to bring love, to bring help, to bring the good news. That is the believer's job. Can I hear an amen on that? Absolutely. All of us, there's a throne, there's a platform in your workspace, in your school space, in your neighborhood. Just by the nature of who you are as the body of Christ, you are meant to lead in those things. So there's trauma, there's pain, there's darkness that sweeps in to a community. You are the salt, you are the light. So then you know who you are and say, darkness has come in, I am light, I am salt, I have the peace that passes understanding. I will then deploy who I am in that space because I know who I am. I know I'm the king or the authority of that space. I'm going in. That's everybody's space. It's everybody as a believer has that responsibility and that throne to develop. The other one is your unique gifts, your unique talents, your unique abilities in the body of Christ, your personality, your way of thinking, your skill set, your education. There are specific spiritual gifts that God gives to each of you. There are specific abilities that God highlights in our lives, specific anointings that each one of us get by the Holy Spirit who distributes to each one as he wills. And it's important that we then discover what our talents, what our giftings are, and then make them excellent. Now, you got the entire body of Christ, call of God on your life. You got that zone. You've got that throne we got to possess. But then it's important that you possess your uniqueness, both spiritually and in the natural giftings of who you are. Are you understanding that? The two ideas of realms of influence? You own both of them. A leader is born when you discover your gifts. And then you learn how to serve those gifts to the world. You know, how do you discover those talents? How do you discover those gifts? I'll just give you a quick litmus test. Write this down. Number one, it's something you're passionate about. You're a leader in that zone. You're passionate about it. It's something that's fun for you. Number two, something that's fun for you. Number three, you enjoy it. Number four, you could do it all day long, every day. Number five, you would even do it at times without pay. There are certain things. It might be working with kids. You could work with kids all day. You'd love it. Now, I'm not saying if you're a teacher, you're like, no, I need to get, I'm getting paid. Now, but what I'm saying is you at times would do it without pay. I mean, we also know that our teachers don't get paid what they need to get paid anyway. But my point is, you love kids, and so you, it brings life to you, you're passionate about. Some of you, you love business, and you're thinking business all the time. You enjoy business. You enjoy creating things. Some of you, you enjoy whatever else might be. It may not be the current career you're in. I'm not saying that the current career you're in is this gift in this space. You may have to work a job that you don't necessarily, are not necessarily called to forever in to temporarily pay the bills. But the idea here is that you discover those things that God has designed you to be passionate about. He has gifted you. He's put talents in your life. He has put a way of thinking into your life. And it's you connecting the dots on how those passions, those abilities can serve the world and help make them better. You could be passionate about horses. You could be passionate about boating. You could be passionate about sports. How can you utilize that passion in order to help make the world a better place? Are you understanding this? I remember when I was a kid growing up, I've always been passionate about teaching. I've always been passionate about history. I loved it. I've always loved history. I've always loved strategy. I love strategy games like Risk, learning how to take over the world. It's fun for me. I've always loved preaching. Even when I was a little boy, I had a little Bible that my mom gave me, a little Jerusalem Bible. I was like 8 or 9 years old. I can still remember lining my family up on the couch and telling them all they're going to hell. I was good at it. I hadn't learned the grace message yet. Man, I preached them into hell every weekend. So that's all I knew. I wish I would have learned how to take an offering, but I hadn't learned that part yet. Ever since I was a kid, I loved making people laugh. I wanted to be great at that. But even when I was in junior high and when I was in high school, I was preaching to my friends on the bus. I was praying for them when they would lose their parents in an accident or a divorce. I remember a friend of mine whose fiance had died on a tractor, and we as a student body gathered around and we ministered to her. I've been doing what I'm doing way before I was ever put in a position to do it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's the gifts, it's the talents, it's the bend that God put in my life. It's just the way I was made it. I would do it with this stage or without this stage. I did it in buses before I was ever on a platform. Does that make sense? You can't keep the preach out of me. I'm gonna preach one way or another. You see what I'm saying? It's just the way it is. But you see, that's the way you are. Maybe it's with sermons, but maybe it's with something else. Maybe it's with teaching. Maybe it's with history or finance. I'm trying to help you see. You're uniquely made. Now what your job to do is to take that gift, that talent, become excellent at it, to know you possess it, and then look for places to deploy it. Look for places to how this could make someone's life better. How can I serve this to the world? Amen. Because we do not seek leadership, we seek places to serve people with our gifts. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.